Now, and take it to the head waiter. So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Just want to again congratulate and welcome Keegan and Caleb as they go through this RCIA process. They're officially now a part of the Order of the Catechumens. So that means they've expressed this desire to follow Christ. There's still a few more steps for them to become fully initiated into the church, but I'm excited for you guys to make that public act, that acceptance of the gospel, and to see where Christ is going to lead you over the next few months. There's a lot of things that were different at the time of Jesus and even in the lives of the apostles that are different from us. You might think some of those differences mean that we can't really relate or the lessons don't really apply so much to our lives now. You might think of how technology has made our life different. We might think about how what we eat and drink is much different, right? We can have drinkable water pretty much everywhere. It's very available to us. I know it might not taste good, but you can drink water straight out of the tap. It's fine. Right? That at the time of Jesus, one of the reasons they drank so much wine was because the water wasn't necessarily good. Right? That their lives were so much different the way they encountered the world. And yet we believe that what Jesus came to teach, the lessons he taught, the good news that he preached to his disciples and those around him, that message still applies to us, still applies to our lives no matter how different it is. One major difference that I kept thinking about when I was preparing for this homily was that today we have paper everywhere. We've got printer paper, maybe even stacks of it in case we run out of printer paper. We've got notebooks that are spiraled together with lots of paper. We've got scrap pieces of paper or post-it notes by the phone in case we need to take a note. Right, we got paper everywhere. We got more than we know what to do with. Yet at the time of Jesus, paper was a luxury item. Not like paper was everywhere, that especially the papyrus scrolls that the scriptures are written on, that the gospel was written down on, they couldn't just go out and get some more of those. It's a very limited resource, and so they had to use it as best as they could. The reason I bring that up is because every detail that they include is for a specific purpose. And especially in the Gospel of John, he doesn't just throw things in there that he remembers years later and goes, "Oh yeah, that would be nice for me to throw in," you know, that they were really big stone water jars, that they could hold 20 to 30 gallons. That he didn't just throw in, "Oh, where was that? Yeah, it was in Cana. Okay, we'll put that down." Right? Every little detail that they include is meant to give us a picture of who Jesus the Messiah is. It gives a picture of the message he came to bring that can apply to our lives today. The one detail that really strikes me as interesting in the gospel today is that conversation between the head waiter and the groom. And Jesus performs this miracle, and if John's point was just to get across that Jesus turned water into wine, well, he could have done that in about, you know, three less paragraphs than we have in this story. And he could have said there were these big stone jars, they filled them with water, Jesus snapped his fingers, they were wine, everyone was happy. That would have been the most efficient way to tell the story. But he wants to invite us into really thinking about what this miracle does. So he has this conversation between the head waiter and the groom. He doesn't go to Jesus because the head waiter doesn't know that Jesus performed the miracle. But he says, "Everyone serves good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, they serve an inferior wine. But you have done something different. You have kept the good wine until now." I think this has very little to do with the kind of wine that Jesus made at the wedding feast at Cana. I don't think he's saying that it's a bad idea to serve people a nice wine and then once they've, you know, drunk freely and maybe can't tell the difference, you give them a different one and save a little bit of money. I don't think that's really what this parable is about, or that's why St. John includes it in the gospel. Instead, he's wanting to show that what Jesus came to do was give us the better wine that God had planned for us. That the initial wine that we experience, it's not a bad wine, but that God has come to give us something even better. Something maybe we wouldn't even dare to ask for. And yet that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Pope Benedict, talking to married couples, said that in reference to the wedding feast at Cana, the first wine is very fine. It is like a couple when they fall in love. That's good. That's not a bad thing. But that does not last until the end. A second wine in a marriage has to come later. It has to ferment and grow. It has to mature. That the definitive love that can truly become the second wine is more wonderful than we can imagine. It's better than the first wine. And this is what we must seek. That is what God desires for our lives. That we will have that mature love and experience his mature love for us. That's like that better wine that he makes in the gospel. I think of married couples as they embark on their marriage. Often I'm tempted during wedding homilies to preach and just to say, just so you know, you have no idea what you're getting into. Right? When you say, I promise to be with you in sickness and in health, to love you and honor all of your days, you have no idea what you're saying yes to. But sometimes that's the beauty of it, right? That we're giving this complete gift, even not knowing exactly what will happen. Because it's precisely through those times of sickness and health. It is precisely in richer and in poorer times that we grow and mature into this genuine love. That we don't have to be stuck with the first wine, that initial attraction, that thing that brought them together as a couple. But that initial love grows into something new. Grows into something better. I would say actually grows into something divine. Grows into a love that's not just based on the things of the world, but based on how God loves us. And the beauty is that how St. John presents this miracle is that it doesn't just apply to married couples. Because the overall point of this story for John is to show that Jesus himself is coming to be the groom of God's people. That Jesus has become man in order to marry the people of God. That we heard about in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, how God will not forget about his land. You will not be called forsaken or desolate. Instead, you will be called my delight and your land espoused. That your Lord, your God, will actually marry you and rejoice in you as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride. And so in the gospel today, St. John is trying to show Jesus himself is the bridegroom for the church. He's the one that's come out to say, yes, I've been attracted to you and love you in that first wine, in that first encounter. But also I want to show you a mature and generous love also. To love you when you're perfect, to love you in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. To model that love of a good husband, of a good groom, who doesn't just stay in the first encounter, doesn't just stay with that first love, but instead wants to give us a better wine. Brothers and sisters, we've all experienced that first encounter with God in some way. We've experienced that first wine of being attracted to him and wanting to serve and to love him. Right? I'd say that's why Keegan and Caleb have presented themselves to enter into the church. Right? That something has drawn them and attracted them to want to give their lives to Christ. But God doesn't want us to stay right there. He wants to develop that into a mature and generous love that can endure whatever we encounter in this world. So how is it that we actually get to that mature love? How do we grow into that new wine that God wants to give us? I think if we look at this miracle, it actually gives us great instruction for how to follow Christ, to enter into that new life. Because he takes something that's really ordinary and normal, especially for the Jewish people at the time, and he turns that into something different. That he takes not only water that they would have been accustomed to, but really these large stone jars are something they would have had in every house. They may not have been that big. But they would have seen these ceremonial washing jars all over the place. They would have known that they're filled with water. In fact, the servants probably had to fill these things multiple times a day throughout this wedding feast. That as it got dirty, they would have to go and they'd have to put new water in it. So it's a very ordinary, normal thing for them to know. And yet Jesus takes that normal, ordinary thing, and by allowing Jesus himself to touch it, allowing him to be present with that ordinary thing, becomes something heavenly, becomes something divine. Brothers and sisters, he wants to do a similar thing to us. He wants to take our ordinary lives, our ordinary encounters, our ordinary struggles and crosses, and turn them into ways to see his grace working in our lives. Turn them into things that he can touch and turn into something new and extraordinary. Can turn them into something that leads us to love as he loves us. So let us pray today that we will take those simple, ordinary encounters, those that we have in our homes or have in our workplaces, and let us bring them to our Heavenly Father. Let us bring them to Christ, the bridegroom. Let us ask him to turn them into a new wine, to turn them into a better way of loving him and loving others, that we can embrace him as the bridegroom of the church. We can embrace him as our leader and savior that leads us closer to heaven. That here in our lives, he can take those simple and normal things and turn them into a source of eternal life, a source in our days of new life here on this earth, and new life in heaven forever.